It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom!
In your face, son!
It's Tuesday. Rocky Russo on the road trying to win a Western Conference championship. They'll go back-to-back. Put the street camera out. I want you to meet Chubbs. Chubbs is our local squirrel, and he's probably mad at me now because I did not leave sunflower seeds out there for him.
He's definitely.
Oh, he is going. Look, he's looking, and he's if I don't know if he left any over from yesterday, but he checks in, and Chubbs gets well fed. Yeah, so there were some left over from yesterday. So I'll put some around the base of the tree. But the guys were out. The landscape people were out there today putting mulch down. And I don't think they handled this side of O Street. They got 11th Street, but I don't think they got the O out in front of us.
That's Chubbs' property. They need a warrant.
Yeah, but – and Chubbs will guilt trip me. Like if – so I keep sunflower seeds in my bag.
Uh-huh.
So if I run into him – on either side, he literally will come hind. He'll get on his hind legs. He'll stand up and like, you know, bruh, like what's up with the seeds? And if I don't have them,
you get mugged up front.
No, it's like, you know, squirrel guilted by not having sunflower seeds. Right. But you see how he's working it. Right. So, and then he'll go down. And if you go down up O Street, he will find different places where, there's three places where I will find Chubbs, and one is on this side with on the parking side out here up front, and then right down here at 10th and O. And you saw it Sunday.
Yeah, it was funny. You Jeff saw it and Sunday. Nicole got the way because Nicole has fallen in love with Chubbs, and I didn't want
Chubbs is the best.
I didn't want to tell her it had a name, and it was a big family favorite already. Just got the window can be distracting, and that squirrel. Now she's got a more sentiment because she saw you out there feeding Chubbs the morning on Sunday.
Well, you saw Chubbs. He was just looking at me
he was guilt tripping.
Like, bruh, like, okay, keep going. Like, and he will tell me how many seeds are enough seeds. So he got up on the branch. He went up from the ground to the branch. And then finally he was getting higher, like more. Not yet. Okay, now you can stop. So there are some left over from yesterday. He was out there yesterday, so he can see what's going on. 402-464-5685, the Starter Heyman text line. I do have a conversation with animals thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little Dr. Doolittle in me.
Yeah, I can't remember what athlete it was, but they brought a puppy over, and I don't.
Rashawn brought his. Kenzie brought.
That's what it was. You were ready to Daisy. Kidnap Kenzie's dog.
Yes,
I was like, Daisy. I don't know if Kenzie's going to get it back.
Yeah, she brought Daisy. Becky calls me the puppy whisperer, the dog whisperer, because we would do a lot of rescues, and that was kind of the thing. Now, you know, Becky has her type that she likes, and I have the type that I like, but ultimately, you know, it was always some puppy that had surgery and needed a place and needed somebody to love on it. But I've told the story before that when I got really sick, when I was in ICU and came home and was bedridden for 6 months, pretty much, that we had a rescue that literally, I don't think I'm here without him.
Really?
Cause he was recovering and he would just lay next to me. Like if we were watching TV, he would lay on me. If we were next to me and he would watch TV with me. If I was sleeping, he would just put his head on me. It was always like, what are we doing today?
He was going through it too.
And it was like, what are we doing today? Are we getting up? We staying in bed? We watching TV? What are we doing? What are we doing? Cool dog, man.
He's man's best friend. There's that's the problem though. It's like I've had a really good dog, and once you have a really good one though, it is hard to get another.
Well, we've never had a bad rescue.
I've never had a
bad dog. We had one Bentley. So we had the first ones that we had together were Buddy, and Buddy is the best. Buddy was the best. Buddy, okay, I don't know how to say this without offending you, but if Buddy was a person at the ticket, he would be Harrison.
Okay, sounds like a great guy.
Right, right, like that he would, Buddy was just, what are we doing? We good?
Yeah, like, that's the best,
you
know, people.
Like, I don't need much. We can hang out.
It's ironic you say that. Out at the old farm, we had a dog named Buddy, and it literally came out of nowhere in the middle of the cornfield. Big old paw showed up. Yeah. It was the nicest dog, though. Yeah. It's like, well, we'll call it Buddy. This guy's a great old dog.
Yeah.
And then he took off to the cornfields again one day. It was a stray, but yeah, hopefully that dog's living its best life. It was an awesome dog, though.
We had Bentley, who was the personality of them all. Bentley was so adorable. Bentley was the one I taught to run the bases and slide. I taught him how to run the bases, and then I could just say, slide, and he would belly up.
Oh, you actually trained it to slide? Oh,
trained it to slide.
Oh, that's
100%.
Awesome.
And then, but on the same token, he would, like, whenever I would turn the camera on, he would smile. Like, he knew, oh, we're posing. And he would totally Zoolander.
You need to get that dog on the Savannah Bananas. I haven't seen that there yet.
Oh, he was spectacular. And then, when I was in Utah, I had Diva. Diva was this black pom who I taught to walk on its hind legs. So when we would go on our neighborhood walk, we would go on our walks. When we got to the street side where the cars could drive by, she would get up on her hind legs and she would just walk down the street. And people would, she always got treats, and people would always, they'd blow the horn. And Diva was just like, yep, probably the best athlete in a dog I've ever seen.
Probably the best name that you could have came up with that person. You got a dog walking the street.
Black Diva. Yeah, 100%. 100%. So it's, we're dog people. We haven't done it here. My thing is, we had, in Virginia, we had the room.
Yeah.
Like we had a big dog run, and we, you know, you go through that and you go, okay, this is what we're doing. So it's just there. And so when I was recovering, I would go on these long walks, and there was a point where I was walking 10 miles a day.
Oh, this was, sorry for digging. Is this the blood clots?
Yeah. Issue?
Okay.
Yeah. And so I would walk. One, I had to learn how to walk again, but then I would walk. When I started doing it, I would just get on this path and I would just walk, and I would walk for 10. But then the thing happened is that, and I don't know if it happens to other people, but cardinals would follow me on my walk. Squirrels would just come out and walk along. Right. It was just interesting.
Like, that's a DP thing. That's crazy. That cardinals following you is awesome.
Yeah, like they would, like, and you would see them going from tree to tree.
Yeah, those beautiful birds.
Right, and you just go, okay, those are, you know, there's somebody sending a spirit to me, is what they would tell you. But then they would just chirp at me, and like I would tell people. So then I'd have to pull camera out and record it and go, I'm seriously showing you that this is the craziness that is. And everybody's like, nope, that's real. That's authentic. That's your spirit. That's kind of what it was. And the one time when I was in Houston, the school that I coached at, when I first got there, when I literally first got to Houston, so they didn't really know me like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the school, the Woodlands, is as it's named. It's this highly wooded, deeply thick wooded area in north of Houston.
No, like woods where you'll find Bigfoot, that type of dense.
Well, yeah, the Woodlands. Like every animal is in the Woodlands. And we were running a camp. So there's a basketball camp. Matt Bullard, who played for the Rockets and is now there on their broadcast team. But Bullard would have a camp in our school. And so, but all ages were invited. And I was working with the young kids. So I was working with all the way up to sixth grade, maybe a little younger. And they had three gyms that the different age groups would go to. We were going to the smaller gym, but there's a pathway. But this was a new school with tons of money. And there was some construction going on. And they're building a new facility, a new building. So what happens in construction? Things get unearthed and disturbed. And we literally told the kids, hey, stay on the path. Snakes are everywhere. Mm-hmm. All sorts of animals are there. So just stay on the path. And I forget what I was carrying, but I was carrying something and dropped it. And without thinking, I leaned down to pick it up, and it hit full slow motion of realizing, oh no, I've done the thing that I said not to do. And the one thing about young kids is you tell them not to do something and then you do it. They are never going to let you forget it. All right. Sure enough, I reached down and there staring me in the face. Listen, Harrison, what's the sound you make when you're scared by something that you are totally unexpecting?
Oh, it's like,
what sound do you make?
It's weak. It's withdrawn though. It's like I just lose my voice. I don't even know if I can rep. If I get a good scare, it's a lot of like, it's the soul leaving my body. If you can make that sound.
So it was a copperhead, and it's as close as this as I am to this my face as this microphone, and I made a sound that the kids may still be laughing at 7-8 years later, and I, right, and they see it, and all of the cool points that I had earned to that moment, done. Gone. I went from being the cool guy to and trying to regain composure.
Yeah, I'm trying to gain their respect back after
because you know they saw you and heard you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least no iPhones then, right? Nobody was recording you.
There were iPhones, but nobody recorded it because it was just it was a basketball camp and it was just 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds, right? yeah.
I've never had a bad moment like that. The worst I've ever had was a mountain lion, but I was nowhere near real danger. But you just see it and you're like, I don't know if I really want to go fishing at the creek today. guys out there.
We had. So in Utah, we had mountain lions that would come down. And again, this is when I had Diva.
Those scare me more.
Right. And I would let Diva out of the back. This is when I lived in a castle next to an amusement park.
Okay.
But the backyard was gated. And so I could let Diva out, except every now and then Diva did what Divas do. And she was like, I'm going to slide under the gate and I'm going to go party. And It would be fine, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You let her out, and mm-hmm. she goes running, and then you kind of stand there half asleep, waiting for her to try not to wake all the way up, so you can go back to sleep. And then she would come back, finally laughing in your face, mm-hmm. like, "You look really tired. Thank you very much." And it's like, except for one night, and they would. So I lived at the point of the mountain, which. Again,
you're up there, so you're literally in their territory, right? Or back leaning up against
this them. Belonged to them.
Yeah,
we moved into it, and there is a sound that a mountain lion makes that when you hear it next to your trash can, behind the trash can at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that was right in your eardrum then.
Oh, let me tell you. You reassess some things, and I had emotionally written off Diva. Like, yeah, that he probably ate Diva.
Yeah. You hear, especially when you hear that.
Hey, he probably ate Diva. Except for then, I hear the pitter patter of Diva feet, and my fear is he. Okay, she's alive, mm-hmm. but she's about to get eaten in front of me by this mountain lion. And you know by the roar how big you think this mountain lion is. And I it's a level of cowardice that I do not want to know that I possess, but you have to make a business decision.
I don't, big cats scare the living hell out. That's the one thing I fear in the woods more than anything is it's not the snakes and spiders. It's more the big cats.
Like, don't you just go.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen it with like those small house cats when they go ballistic and they claw on, you can't even get a small house cat off. You take that with a mountain lion and they're quiet. They're just expert hunters.
They're quiet until they want you to know. It's about to go down.
If you heard it, it's probably too late.
It's about to go down. And to try to make that decision. And it's like, Diva, you better come on. Like, if there's ever, and this is where training matters.
Yeah, that come signal that, you to get
that,
back.
That I need for you to come and then be straight line on purpose. Because don't be cute.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play. Don't go and sniff everything as dogs would do. Don't go and sniff. Thank goodness that one night Diva was straight line like Diva knew. Like, nah, dude, let's go on and get inside.
Just straight bolt inside.
Let's go on and get inside, bro.
How fast he slammed that door once he ran in.
She jumped up on the couch in the living room. She came to the door. She jumped on the couch. And it was always like, did you know? Like, did you know? Did you know? And we both kind of look at each other like, we're both lucky right now. We're both well done. Well done. So there's a thing with animals. It's just, I can't explain it. I'm an animal person. I don't.
You just know. Not snakes.
Snakes and spiders. I don't.
Spiders have gotten over. I don't like him. Not a big fan of him, but yeah, just not.
I don't.
Snakes still get me.
See, I don't even like. We lived in a house like the house in Virginia was wooded. It was surrounded by woods. The thing about the house in Virginia is that because it was real nature, Virginia nature,
mm-hmm.
that you had bugs that look unlike any other bug you've ever seen. And I can't tell you in the number of years we lived there how many times I went, what is that? Like, what? Like, you'd see a green bug with blue eyes and orange wings. Okay, that's not even a thing. That's not even a real. What is that? And but then it makes it like a sound that you go, okay, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. And it was. So you pull in, there's a long driveway, you pull in, and you go to the back door, but it's dark. And when I tell you we lived, there's nobody around us. It's pitch black in the sense that it's pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
And then the motion detector would set off a light by the front door or by the back door. And your eyes would adjust, and you would reach for the door. Except for there on the doorknob is a 7-inch bug that you weren't prepared for. And it's looking at you like, how you doing, Harrison?
Is that centipede territory that you're up in?
No, this was like a mosquito fly combo. Yeah.
I'm not about that. Bugs, that's where the Midwest is nice. Maybe that's where I got off the spear of spiders. Because like bugs are just mosquitoes. Spiders, we had the wolf and barn spiders get pretty big, but you see enough of those and
it,
get over it. The bugs are gross, though.
There was nothing about this. And it happened it would happen in May, like for the first time when spring happens, and then it catches you off guard, and then you're anxious for the next 3 weeks. And then you finally exhale, like, okay, it got me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets you again. Like, just when you let your guard down, it's like, hey!
Have you seen this one before? Right.
Come on. Plus, we had a pool with you have to skim it and all sorts of bugs.
Oh, where you're at. That's a daily chore.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's a thing. I've been fully – people humble me far less than animals do. Animals humble me. Because it's just – there's no logic to an animal.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to make sense, but – and nothing can – Nothing can make my day like a puppy that I don't know coming up and playing with it. And nothing can ruin my day like a puppy I don't know who won't come up and play. And I will walk here to the station mad. Like, well, this day's gonna suck. Just because some random dog was just like, nope, nope, not gonna do it. So it's all there. In case you didn't know, one-on-one, we go anywhere. We end up everywhere.
Yeah, guy DP. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, we didn't know. You didn't know. Outdoors with DP. You didn't know that's what you were getting for the first segment. We'll sort of come back. More one-on-one here on The Ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Keep it simple. I had to show Harrison my base running Bentley, my dog.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was pretty cool. He does indeed slide. If you say slide, he'll go slide to first
Pete
base.
Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, belly to ground. He understood it. He understood the mission. He accepted. And he was a smart dog. He was also... He was like a supermodel.
Yeah, he was in the, he had a little photo op.
Yeah, he had a photo shoot. Like they, so there was a bridal magazine in Houston that was using puppy adoption, and they were looking for dogs. And everybody said, Bentley. And Bentley, they put him in a bow and tie and took pictures with brides to be, you know, telling him to pick Bentley.
And he posed.
He knew. Bentley knew. Bentley accepted the assignment. He knew what was going on. Lots going on in sports. Shout out to Peter Cobalt and men's tennis for fighting their way into the NCAA tournament. They finished the regular season ranked 40. They battled in the Big Ten tournament, but now they head to Texas, and they get to take on Baylor, who they met earlier in the year. They lost them 4-2, but there were several three-set matches that could have gone in a different direction. But this is also a different Husker tennis team than it was early in the year. So
yeah, and you got a knack right now. Maybe you just need to start doing that for all the programs. It's like, it seems like you pull up to the wagon. They go on a crazy run.
They won't, you know, I don't know why you want, I mean, bowling was third in the country.
Yeah, like, bowling, I'll be honest, Joe, I didn't know a ton about the men's tennis program, and I was driving in the one day, and you had their head coach on, and I was listening to it. I think they had Michigan State coming up, and it was a really big one, and the next day, I was like, oh.
Pulled off the win.
And then I was like, they're popping up more on my feed, and I was like, okay, men's tennis here at Nebraska is kind of a big deal right now. These guys are pulling off some major upsets. So I wasn't the only one. They had a few upsets.
First tournament, NCAA tournament bid in 14 years. In 14 years, they have not made the NCAA tournament, and they made the tournament this year. Matter of fact, it's this weekend, so they play Friday down in Texas. Of course, the disadvantage of being a lower seed, but going into a higher seed. And then, you know, playing in Texas, where facilities and tennis players are all over the place. But shout out to them for that. It's also a big weekend for Nebraska softball. Of course, Jordy Ball making a legitimate bid for player of the year. Having a year hitting over 460 offensively, and of course, being serious in the circle. she's been everything. I think she's 20-5 in the circle. And I think the opportunity for them to finish well, and they could actually win the Big Ten conference postseason tournament, and then if you play well enough and get through, maybe host an early round here at Bolin. But you know, that's been everything you can imagine. The men's baseball has an opportunity.
Yeah, they've been picking them back up. There's some life back in.
Opportunity, two games under 500, but you got Kansas State, who you haven't had really good luck with this year. But you're here tomorrow night, so if you're looking for something to do, head on down to Haymarket and catch Husker baseball. could get on a run, get above 500, and then, you know, let it be what it's going to be in the tournament time.
Yeah. They just got Kansas State one game, and they got a series with Minnesota, another one off with Creighton, series with Michigan, Purdue, and that's it.
Yeah, their entire year, if they could figure out how to handle Creighton and Omaha, the entire season looks different.
It's every year too. That's always been a problem for them. Yeah. Is the they did get? I want to say they got Creighton on their last one, but they took a loss to them earlier, and same with Omaha.
Yeah, yeah. It's necessary for them to get on a run, but it's not necessarily a thing that you have to have a great season, get hot at the end of the year, and make some things happen. Will Bolton Group, look, you put up a 20 burger.
Mm-hmm.
So you do know a way how to put up runs, and that I think that you can't expect 20 run nights all the time. But being consistent and putting up, you know, 6 or 7 runs over the course of the end of the season certainly makes a big difference. So, but both of those programs are at home this weekend. So if you're looking for something to do, and then ideally the Lincoln Stars don't come back to play until they advance. If they win tonight and tomorrow,
series, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
If they drop one of those, I think it's Saturday, they'll be back at the ice.
Well, we're okay with them winning 2 and being done.
And we're on to we're going for the cup.
Yeah.
Not so, the Anderson.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity. It would be nice, to have that happen. So if you're looking, and then, over at PBA, Saturday, May 3rd, Dynasty Combat has put together, and this, I believe it's 16 fights, 2 former Huskers, on the card. 16 is what I think the number.
I'll double check here, but the Dynasty Combat Sports talking about Saturday, May 3rd, and that one starts 7:30.
So here's what we'll do for anybody listening, 402-464-5685. If you want to go, we will give you a pair. Just text in.
We are starting to run out here. So let's see. We got more to give out. Don't get me wrong, but if we get towards
we'll give a pair.
Thursday, we will be
yeah, we'll give
limited out a number here.
Yeah, we'll give out a pair. So we can do that. A lot of the conversation, it's funny too. That after the draft and outside, when you get out of the forest, right? You get out of that vacuum of draft talk. But Monty Jones did a thing that I thought, and he's one of my favorite sports talkers, because he often speaks outside of the general public. He's authentic in putting his ideas together. And he thought a thing that I thought was true all along, and it just was great to have Bomani confirm that maybe I wasn't wrong being in that space, but that we give far too much. I've said on air that I try to stay away from recruiting talk because I think it's wasted conversation. I have the same feeling for the NFL draft because in truth, it doesn't matter.
You don't like the grades right after the draft?
Mock drafts don't matter. Mock drafts don't matter. It's just to get you to talk about it, right? You read it so you feel more informed, but you're not held accountable for right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah.
Right? And then the people talking about it, we don't know how to grade this year's draft.
No, I was just going to ask you, do you pay any weight at all into the grades right after the draft?
Okay. Because you don't know.
No.
Listen, to think that an athlete could walk into your system, know it in absolution, and then compete in it at the highest level against the best, it's so rare. It's so rare. That we could simply say, how long did it take Peyton Manning to stop throwing 20 interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
We understand what Eli was a 50-50 ball. We also forget that there were entire leagues set up to manipulate NFL teams into drafting or not drafting certain players. We know that families have always played a part in being able to communicate when the player had power, right? Or perceived power. And often, the team is wrong. Often the player is wrong and the family is wrong. Most of the time, the fan base is wrong. They will tell you what they want. But a fan is simply going to tell you, hey, here's the player available that I want to wear our uniform.
Yep.
Or play for us. And I knew, I can go back to being in D.C. when RG3 was being drafted. And there are people who went through the conversation of, well, Andrew Luck or RG3, either way, you're good. But from the rafters, people would say, no, it's Andrew Luck. So the Colts were going one. Redskins were going two. To get RG3, traded up to get RG3. And because of the culture in D.C., it made sense. And people celebrated.
And it worked for a while there. Well, like, it was fireworks. You guys were selling. He was playing awesome.
Well, but how do you draft? What's the draft grade for RG3 if you're Washington? If you ask me before the draft, it's an A. If you ask me after year one, if you ask me after 10 weeks, it's an A+.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me after 2 weeks of season two, when he couldn't put weight, he couldn't bear weight on it. Oh, hello, Kirk Cousins. Right? Which explains why you made the choice to draft Kirk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you drafted RG3.
I was like, when the Chiefs got Mahomes, was that an A+ after year one? No, he wasn't even playing.
No, yet. He wasn't playing. Alex Smith was playing, right?
Yeah, so you still didn't know.
Right. And so the majority of the conversation is really, and when you say projection, you have to remember that you're also talking about the person who's providing the content is projecting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you, Harrison, you could only write about the NFL draft from your perspective. You can't write it and know every GM, every head coach, and what they really want.
And those guys arguably have the biggest say and how all this shakes, especially the owners. I think this year is a real one where you can identify, like, they still have weight in a lot of this.
How many NFL owners do you really know?
Zero.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't know who ultimately the owner is making the pick, yeah, the general manager, it's his job. But how many general managers do you actually know?
Well, the average lifespan of what, a general, just over 3 years? I think it's just barely over.
To talk to them and hear them tell you their thoughts on football, their thoughts on the system, their thoughts on the player, mm-hmm. their thoughts on practice, their thoughts on training, their thoughts on contracts. We don't know these people that way. Even if you really do know them,
how much pressure is the owner putting on him? For his job, because he's gonna change who he drafts just based on, I need to keep this job, and if I put together three losing seasons in a row, I can guarantee you my job as GM is not here anymore.
And who hired the GM? Right? Because who hired the GM will tell you, one, the culture. Mm-hmm. Two, they'll tell you that's somebody that the owner would want to go play golf with.
Yep.
Right? I got to fly with this person. I got to stay in hotels with this person. I've got to make business deals with this person. Do you pick somebody you don't like? Do you pick somebody that you don't trust? No, you pick somebody that you can agree with
mm-hmm.
on how business is going to be done. And then you have to add in that a head coach. And how many head coach and GMs don't get along? A lot. How many defensive coordinators actually get along with the GM? Because the coordinators tell the head coach what they need. What grocery items do we need? The GM tells you what your budget is. Hey, man, you can get prime rib, but that means you're going to eat pork and beans with it.
Yeah, and the defensive side of the ball, I'd imagine that's where the most beef comes from, because it's always offense first.
Well,
for a lot of how they decide where the pieces are going. Defense has to deal.
That's the GM, though. Yep. That's deciding. There are certain GMs that are defense first.
How many of those are left, though?
Well,
I can't even think of one anymore.
It evolves, and that's the important thing, that when people are talking about the NFL draft, you're talking about mock drafts, you're talking about post-draft grades, just go easy. Just go easy, because quite frankly, we don't know.
So I can't get my Bears in there plus, is what you're throwing me.
You can. It's yours.
Yeah, but it'll blow up in my face if I slap a grade on it. I'm going to wait and see.
How many times have the Bears had an A+ draft in your life?
Last year.
A+?
Yeah. Like as I thought at the time, right? You're super excited about it. You'll roll out the red carpet for the season, and you're getting your face beaten every other week.
That is my point.
Yep.
Is that the Brown, all the teams that were drafting early this year, there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason.
And 5 years from now, I still might be able to say last year actually was an A-plus draft pick for the Bears, but I don't know right now.
And if the same people are drafting in the same towns from the same ownership group, you're going to get the same reason. Just going to say it. Just going to say
it. What if I told you Ben Johnson had a heavy hand on this year's draft?
What if I said you have a history of poorly drafting quarterbacks? Think about that.
I know it. I know it all too
That
well.
Is a terrible list of quarterbacks drafted.
Not as bad as the Browns. We talked about that yesterday.
Browns are bad, bad. Saints are bad. Mm-hmm. Raiders are bad. Stop drafting quarterbacks. Go get a free agent. We'll be back to one-on-one.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP. Sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment before DP hands it over to DPE.
More DC connections.
More DC. More DMV. There's more coming. Bernard Day's coming next year.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to do basketball coverage for us.
That'd be fantastic.
Gotta have more DC.
I will say, everyone, because Barry Thompson's DC guy too, right?
Hoss is
Hoss. Yeah, there's something good in the water over there.
You know, not bad folks.
Can't say the same about, shout out our guy in Canada.
Turcotte.
Dave Turcotte. Different water up there, but great guy as well.
Utah. With Turk and Ever Gray, and yeah, no, we had people. DC, you mentioned Johnny Holiday that would come on and do bits for us. Yeah, it's Red Jenkins, the legend. Like it's a thing. It's a thing. Plus Mark Canterbury.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Canterbury as well.
The DMT. Okay, right. The Pacers are going. Man, it looked like the Bucks were going to make a run and actually try to steal a game. It's tied at 73.
The Bucks window's dead.
It is brutal to see how bad that roster is outside of Giannis.
You know when their next first round pick is too, DP? Mm. 7 years from now.
Yeah. Well done.
Everybody has rights to all their picks.
Well done.
It's over well for the done. Bucks. And they deserve it for how they did Budenholzer.
Well,
like another one, it's like treat your people right.
Well, Giannis is gonna get traded.
To the Bulls.
Hopefully you get enough. Where does he want to go?
He's talked about the Bulls. He's talked about big city markets. He likes Chicago sports city a lot. He likes the idea of Michael Jordan and the history there. Again, this is all him just saying nice things about the city.
Can I ask you, you just hit a trigger for me.
Okay.
Did you see the jersey?
For the Bulls?
Did you see the White Sox Bulls tribute baseball uniform / jersey?
MLB is the one spot where I go away from Chicago. I'm a Cardinals guy.
Let me tell you, Harrison, I had to talk myself off the ledge from launching that purchase the moment I saw it.
Oh, those are sick.
Bruh! Those jerseys are fire. And I
kind of want one.
Oh, it is so hot. And I just went, like, literally, I was like, get it, get it, get it, get it. And I was like, no, don't get it, don't get it. But then I was like, okay, who do you get, right? Because you can get like a Bo Jackson because it's White Sox Bulls. So you can get a Jordan or you can get a Bo. You can get a Frank Thomas. You can get a White Sox jersey in a Bulls uniform. And they even had the pants.
Yeah, I got it up on the screen now. You can't see the pants on there, but you can see fire. Just the pinstripes.
Oh, and the hat. Even the hat.
The hat with a cool White Sox logo on there, but it fits it perfectly.
Even the hat. So I think I'm giving in. Like, I will wear that. Like, I'm not even a Bulls or White Sox. Can I say this as well? One of the great, underrated, underutilized jerseys. The White Sox have a jersey that they wore in the 70s. It is a 1972 throwback jersey. It is white with red numbers and red letters. And Harrison Arns, it is gorgeous. Gorgeous. The White Sox only wore it for a year, I believe. White with red numbers and letters. My goodness, Harrison Arns. And they don't make it in big boy size. It only goes up to like 2X.
I'm looking at it right. Those are clean too.
Those, bruh, they're so good. They're so good.
What happened to our jerseys where we've just gone down 10 years?
We got lazy. It was they even that year they so you know how the Eagles have the powder blue?
Yeah.
I mean the Phillies have the powder blue with the red. The White Sox had a powder blue with the red. It was a lighter power blue with the red, but sir, oh, that is a sportable jersey. Sportable, I tell you. Sportable.
I miss those days. We're not sponsored by Nike, so I can say when Nike took over the pro sports jerseys, the first big misstep. Again, I'm not a big Lakers guy, but to go from gold and purple to banana yellow and purple, what are we doing? And then I always use it was Celtics and Lakers. Lakers were blue, Celtics were black. Sometimes it's like, you know, simplicity can look sharp and clean. And Nike, every now and then, you'll get that sick MLB Bulls jersey. They nail it. But a lot of times, it's just you're doing too much.
Like to try. And if your baseball team has a sleeveless jersey, I will wear it. I don't care who. I don't dislike any team enough not to discard their sleeve. Like the Roberto Clemente Pirates sleeveless, the Reggie Jackson A's sleeveless. Sir.
I know Rebecca is going to keep an eye on that bank account. 100%.
100%. 100%. Tomorrow at the ticket, 11 to 0, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Chef Bob, you'll be here. Heavenly Waffles available at 11 to 0 tomorrow. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Stop by for lunch. Your tummy will be appreciative for it. DP, up next, Don't Punt Hour, coming up on the ticket.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today. Save big money.